Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hi, I'm Rob Vanstone, and welcome to the, what are we at now, 110, 112, triple-digit edition of the Rider Rumblings video podcast. I am here with my worthy constituent, Murray McCormick, veteran roof rider, beat rider. And we averted disaster thanks to our producer, Austin Davis, moments ago as we started to record. I was asked, what is that white stuff on your nose? It was yogurt. So I almost did a podcast with yogurt on my nose. And thank you to the attentive colleagues that I have. We've averted some embarrassment. I'll try and continue to avert embarrassment for the remainder of this podcast. Murr, what do you make of that preseason game on Tuesday, 25-16, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers defeating the Saskatchewan Rough Riders before perhaps 16 spectators at Mosaic Stadium? Any takeaways that are front of mind?
I have never seen, you can't even call it a crowd, that small of a crowd for a rider function at the new Mosaic Stadium or Old Mosaic. I think zero on the attendance line says
that
so
was
much.
Funny. That's that was funny. Funny.
So what was the reason for the zero? The fact there was an NHL playoff game between the Oilers and the Avalanche. It's a Tuesday night 6:30 kickoff and a preseason game that was on TV. Was it just a meaningless game? Was it just a whole bunch of other things? The Regina Red Sox were playing. I hope they had more fans than the Riders did, but
they, you know, they said 450, and they actually had a pretty enthusiastic crowd by the sounds of it.
My people asked, what do you read into that? And I listed all those aforementioned reasons and went, it's not the end of the world. It's a preseason game. They had to play it. Unfortunately, there wasn't 30,000 people there, but holy
one factor I would point out is that they weren't playing anybody. I walked around the stadium before the game, and in one lap of the concourse, I saw probably at least a half dozen Cody Fajardo jerseys. If you're a Cody Fajardo fan, you didn't see Cody Fajardo play. The first person I saw come into the stadium, because I was there right at this when it opened, was somebody wearing a jersey 3, Nick Marshall. Nope, Nick Marshall isn't playing either. So they went out of their way to give people incentives not to go. And sure enough, people complied. I wonder if there's still a bit of a COVID hangover. And in terms of wariness and in terms of finances that may be impacting the attendance as well.
Yeah, but we're not panicking by any stretch. I think we're still going to see improved numbers once the regular season starts and get into a regular season mode. But, you know, I didn't feel a whole lot of buzz. I know you went to do an atmosphere piece, and I said to you, good luck finding atmosphere, because there was very few people even outside the stadium. So it's just maybe one
it
of
was
these
like
blips.
It felt like a ghost town outside the stadium.
Yeah. It felt like a practice.
And it really did.
The Labor, like that, the Saturday they have the fan festival before the Labor Day game. It felt a little like that. A little, not quite as exciting, but just number-wise and whatnot. But they got to play them. And, you know, the Riders, I don't know, you and I have sat in the press box after and we go, what did we learn from that? And we scratched our heads and said, well, not
you scratched your head more than I did, obviously.
Yeah, no, I know. Sorry, bad joke. I think marks when I scratch my head. What did we learn? And we kind of said, well, Mason Fine may have the leg up, but I kind of watched sorry, Rob, I watched that game again yesterday. And
Oh my goodness.
Maybe Jake Dalagala.
We got to let human resources know about that.
I know. Jake Dalagala did better than I thought he would. And, you know, Troy Williams had some moments when he showed some mobility. So the backup quarterback position may not be as sold, as wrapped up as we thought. But I'd still be very surprised if it was anybody but Mason Fine. I think that he's just showed that he's a guy he has. He looked more comfortable with the offense, having said those good things about the other two guys. He looked more comfortable with the offense, and he's been around. And it was, I found an interesting comment. Someone asked him about what happened last year and how he ended up being the second-string quarterback, and he said he didn't even know, which was kind of telling.
Yeah, remains a mystery.
Yeah, and it's not, let's dig into this mystery and blow it wide open, because stuff like still a second-string quarterback. And Craig Dickinson, we were asking about him a lot last year, was kind of giving me the look like, okay, it's second-string quarterback, Merck. Come on. So we move on a little bit from there.
Yeah, but it's still important. You're one hit away from disaster. Exactly. Cody Fajardo went from second-string quarterback to most outstanding player in the West Division in 2 seconds in terms of his elevation on the depth chart. So it's a pretty big deal, and it's a pretty big ask, especially with an 18-game regular season looming. Yeah. And a quarterback who likes to run.
But who's been pretty healthy.
Winnipeg Blue Bombers sat out Zach Collaros very tactically for both of their preseason games. There's only so many snaps that you can get away with as a quarterback in this league.
But it was hard looking at that roster sheet they posted to count up how many starters there were that were proposed starters. And I ended up with about a half a dozen among the group.
Yeah, I really stretched it with the Riders I counted number of surefire starters and number of players who actually have a chance of starting. And the most I could get to was 9. I talked to Jeff Hamilton of the Winnipeg Free Press. He said the Bombers dressed 2 probable starters, and they still won quite convincingly.
But what can they do? Like, they have to play these games. And we talked about last year, and I think part of the issue was last year they didn't have any preseason games to set up this regular season. And we saw what was like a pretty mediocre offensive season. They never really caught on. Now, that's putting a whole lot of weight on preseason games to carry your whole regular season. But I still think there was some reasons why the offense were down. Things weren't quite as sharp last year. They didn't have preseason games. Not to prepare the guys.
But then they have they have a preseason game and they don't play their players anyway. So what so would it have done them to have preseason football last year if they were going to treat them like they did Tuesday's game?
I'm running out of excuses. I've run out of excuses to justify that game, Rob. You win. I don't know why. It just was a bad game. You know, the first half, 3-0. I think the Avalanche and Oilers had scored. It was 4-3 or something in that game. By the time the Riders got to 3, or the Bombers got 3-0 or something, I wasn't watching the hockey game. So,
well, on Monday, I asked Craig Dickinson jokingly, because his previous preseason opener as the Riders head coach, they'd lost 37-1. So I asked him jokingly, can you promise the fans you'll score more than 1 point on Tuesday? And he seemed pretty convinced that they would. I was pretty convinced that they wouldn't well into the fourth quarter. I had an absolute killer lead from my column if the Riders had been shut out. So
I hate it when facts
I did some number crunching, by the way.
Oh, good.
What's that?
Oh, good. Preseason number crunching.
Well, I think the Mason Fine situation, people are kind of defaulting to it and saying he's got the inside track in the number 2 job. But he played a much simpler game than did Jake Dalagala. He threw primarily very safe passes. Jake Dolagala's average pass through the air traveled 10.8 yards. Mason Fine, less than 5 yards. 4 of his passes were behind the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, his numbers were going to be better. 13 for 18 compared to 6 for 10. But he threw safe little hitch screen passes. It was a very paint-by-numbers type offense. So I think because of the manner in which the offense was operated under Mason Fine, yeah, his numbers are going to be better, and probably it's going to seem like it was a little more impressive. But there was no aggression to the throws, whereas Jake Dolagala's throws were almost all well beyond the line of the scrimmage. It was a nice throw by Mason Fine to Jesper Weah for the touchdown. And that was his longest throw of the day. It traveled 20 yards in the air, although it was only a 2-yard touchdown. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But by and large, it was safe passes that Craig Dickinson could have completed with some proficiency. So
is that
it's almost an apples and orange. It's an apples, almost an apples and orange comparison, though, because he didn't really get a chance to see if Mason Fine can really air it out. And they didn't really give Jake Dolagala a chance to do what he was apparently his forte, which is really air it out. The only long pass that was thrown all day was by Troy Williams. So we still haven't seen the gun over a long distance that Jake Dolagala supposedly has. So I don't know. I just I want to see more, and I want to see more of those quarterbacks in different situations. And I want to see Mason Fine tested, which I don't think he was necessarily on Tuesday. And I want to see Jake Dolagala air it out to see if there's some throws that he can make that may be beyond the capabilities of the other quarterbacks. That's my little tangent for the day.
I don't know if I'm thinking that's going to happen too much tomorrow night against the Lions. I somehow wonder whether the starters are going to play the first half, most of the first half, and then the prospects come in for the second half. Maybe they will let out. Maybe they're going to have to find out what they can do. I still remember one of Jake's first or second passes, and he just threw a rocket. I don't know if you remember that pass. We saw how strong his arm was early in the game. So,
but it was strong. But those were intermediate passes. I want to see him air it out. The Bombers weren't reluctant to air it out. Dakota Prukop did. The second touchdown pass he threw was beautiful. At least the Bombers made an attempt to entertain the fans that did show up on Tuesday. The Rough Riders just played their usual boring, conservative, take what the defense gives you offense that was way too tiresome last year. Yeah, it was only one preseason game, but the Rough Riders really didn't try to test the limits of their backup quarterback or prospective backup quarterbacks while supposedly evaluating them.
Yeah. Well, they get another chance tomorrow night to do a little bit of that. Rob, I know we were watching the running backs, and you talked to Frankie Hickson before the game. And
yes.
I think, Jamal Moore only had, I think, was it two carries for 23 yards?
Or maybe
Three for 23. So, I thought he looked the best in his three carries of all the running backs in his little time.
No way. Frankie Hickson looked way better.
I didn't give me a chance to say but. Frankie came on stronger towards the end, and he had a block on one of the Blue Bombers that was coming. Jake ended up getting sacked on the play regardless, but he just blew a block there Rob, can I check? Because it looks like the Rough Riders transaction moving right now. Do you want to take a look at that?
Sure. You take a look at that, and I'll start talking.
Okay.
I mean, Frankie Hickson, there was a greater sample of work, not abundant in terms of carries, but Jamal Morrow had the one carry that was really nice for 16 yards. Frankie Hickson consistently showed that he could make things happen, even when there really didn't appear to be a lot there. What we saw from Morrow and Hickson is what we didn't see last year, and arguably in 2019, which is a running back with acceleration as soon as he gets the ball. I mean, last year over William Powell's first 40 carries, only two of them exceeded 10 yards. And generally, he's a different style runner too. He was more kind of patient once he got the ball, and he would just a different style. But to see a running back get the ball and go whoosh, I think that's an example of younger legs, quicker legs, and maybe a different style of running back too. And I left that game feeling better about the running backs than I did about any other facet of the Rough Rider game. Although Kari Vedvik punted well.
What did he do in the Western Final?
29.5.
We haven't yet
seen if he can be a cold weather punter, but he did exceedingly well on Tuesday.
We're going to jump on this fresh breaking news for Rider Rumblings and hope it stays for a while. The Riders finally released their cuts that were supposed to have been announced yesterday.
Cuts on a Thursday.
Yeah, so here they are. We're going to just...
The result of Friday's game will be available on Saturday.
We'll start at the top of the list, and two names are probably going to jump out at you, Rob. Okay, there's an American defensive lineman, Benjamin Davis, an American defensive back, Steven Denmark, a national defensive back and a draft pick, Vincent Detier, an American wide receiver, Paul McRoberts.
That doesn't surprise me.
Me either. Hang on. Let me finish.
Sorry.
A defensive back, Josh Nurse, who's an American. Offensive lineman, Maurice Simba, who is a 6'8" giant. Defensive back, Will Sutherland, another American. Another American defensive
Sunderland.
Back. Sutherland?
Isn't it Will Sunderland?
Well, I had Sutherland here.
It's Sunderland.
So, sorry. It's Sutherland on the release. Sorry, folks. And American defensive back of Levante Taylor and American quarterback Troy Williams, which, you know, Craig mentioned on Tuesday, he would have liked to have carried four quarterbacks into the preseason game, but they really, not, there's no way four quarterbacks, I'm talking Cody,
no.
Jake, and Mason, are going to get the opportunity to play, so he means to get rid of them. McRoberts, interesting point, and I probably won't make the paper now. I was putting it on my five players to watch, and I had McRoberts on my list because for two training camps in a row, he was a star. Everyone, we talked about him, and training real season would open. He wouldn't be on the regular season roster. He got on the regular season roster, towards the end of 2021. He was with the number ones at training camp to start out this year. I kind of thought he was a bit of a placeholder for Kyron Moore. He didn't really have the highlight reel catches, and that's because I thought Keon Schaffenbaker, Duke Williams, and Shaq Evans seemed to be getting a lot of the passes from Cody with the number ones, and rightfully so because they seem to be, you know, the guys are going to be the chemistry. So McRoberts really didn't get a chance to play. And then on Tuesday, that pass was off his hands. It was a little high, we say that, but I think he should have caught it. It was an interception, and we went from there. So kind of Paul McRoberts surprised me a little bit. And so Vincent Detier had a great camp. I noticed him a lot, and he's a Canadian. He was a draft pick, but, you know, they got to cut someone, so I don't know how many.
Well, burnt a bit on the long touchdown pass to Wap Filior on Tuesday. So
that was that's nine guys they cut, which is sad, but they've got,
I thought they had to cut 10.
Well, that's what I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
McRoberts thing. You look at the receivers that they brought in, both of the special two in particular who scored touchdowns on Tuesday.
Did you break Jesper into my
Wee? Is it we or Wea?
I'm not sure yet. We'll find out.
Dooley Aristide Jr. They both had touchdown catches. They're both younger players. They're both very impressive. And when you're bringing in a younger guy, an inexperienced guy who clearly outperforms a veteran, and one that they never really seemed inclined, as you alluded to earlier, to use extensively in the past, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Neither does
the release of a quarterback, because it's just impractical to go into a second preseason game with four quarterbacks when you want to give your starter some time.
And he's 29.
And you still got to sort out the other two.
I know. I should. Paul was 29, I think. Is that off the top of our heads? Yeah. He was too bad. He was a decent guy. You know, he kind of wish he had his chances. I think he got all of his chances. I think he just somehow it didn't catch on. And so people will be wondering about training camp busts, I guess, joins the long list of Terrence.
Well, I still wonder why they were more excited about playing Ricardo Lewis than Paul McRoberts last year. That was the chance. He came in for one game, caught four passes, all in the second half against Ottawa, I believe. And then after that, it was hello there, Ricardo Lewis, who really didn't do a heck of a lot for a considerable period. Yet Paul McRoberts was still sitting, and you've got to wonder what was it that didn't immediately meet the eye, at least from this perspective. The coaches must have seen something that led to their hesitancy to use him, even when it seemed that circumstances were most conducive to playing him last year due to injury. And even then, Paul McRoberts wasn't used a lot.
Anyway, Rob, let's quickly move on to tomorrow night. And what are you anticipating from the starters playing the first half, prospects playing the second half? You know, it may be a
mixture. Is that definitely the plan?
That sounds like the plan. They got to play. They got to get the starters going. They got to get. You know, they have
the Bombers didn't think they had to.
Yeah, I know. But I saw the green and white game. None of the starters played quite a bit. And I know you put as much weight on the green and white game as you do on a preseason game, but they looked okay. Cody completed nine consecutive passes and capped it with a touchdown against Keon Schaffenbaker. But don't get too excited about that because they weren't exactly playing tough D. But he still had to throw the passes and whatnot in the green and white game. But I'm kind of looking for, well, not with Roberts anymore, but, you know, I'm kind of looking to see, and I know maybe serious, I want to see what AC Leonard does. He hasn't really done a heck of a lot in training camp. And I'm not saying he hasn't, but I just haven't noticed him. Maybe because they know what he's going
to do. You don't have to notice him.
But you know? Still, I think.
I'd be more interested in Charleston Hughes than in AC Leonard tomorrow.
Yeah.
Does he still have any kind of gas in the tank?
Well, you had – it didn't – and in the green and white game, if they go back to it, that's the last time I saw the veterans play. There really wasn't a whole lot of effort. Effort's not there. It just wasn't that type of green and white game where there was lots of pressure and stuff. Things like that. It just – it really was more like a glorified practice with pads and a little bit of referees and stuff. So, yeah, I'm curious to see. I'm still going to look at AC. I still want to see what he can do, what his kind of tone he's going to set.
We know what he can do.
Yeah. It's my guy. My guy I'm watching. No, but I haven't. We've also mentioned many times that we think Charleston Hughes can do, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has a big half. If he goes out, maybe gets a sack and serves, and that'd be pretty cool if he could do that. Because it's, I have noticed a happier Charleston Hughes at practice, a little more personal, dealing with the fans. We saw a great shot of him mugging it up with the fans in Saskatoon at the green and white game. So he's really popular, and maybe they found the. A 38-year-old diamond in the rough. We call him a diamond in the rough. What would you say for a 38-year-old guy who can come back after a season like he had with Toronto, Rob?
I don't know. I mean, myriad reasons for why that may have happened. Sometimes just the grass isn't always greener. And many Rough Rider players have discovered that they've left here and never really had the same career or even the adulation that they did here. I want to see more, as we alluded to earlier, of the quarterbacks. I want to see Fine versus Dola Gala. I think that is still up in the air. I think the running back situation bears watching. If Frankie Hixon can have another big game, I think that allows them to solve another issue, which is who is the returner going to be? And it certainly won't be Troy Maine Pope, based upon what we saw on Tuesday. So you can comfortably put Jamal Morrow at returner and know that you're going to get some good returns there. Yeah. And Frankie Hixon, to me, I want to see more of that. I think that's really sure. Intriguing. I the linebacking situation intrigues me, how all that is going to work itself out, especially with the hash mark change and perhaps different, prerequisites for playing the linebacking positions, because you don't have the sideline as a, to your advantage anymore on one side of the field. So I want to see how the linebackers are going to play out. And there's an abundance of linebackers. So that is something to watch as well.
Especially with Micah Tite's going to be starting the season on the sixth gamer and he was your kind of typical Canadian Will linebacker, a little bigger, kind of played the run and was pretty good at coverage. But I somehow think that the Will linebacker is going to be more of along the lines of a bigger DB, one of those bigger defensive backs like Patrick Levels, or maybe Nelson Lacombo can drop there from corner into playing that position. But there's a lot of experimentation going on, and I think coaches are still good. And I think the one we're all going to watch is see what Chris Jones does with that position with Edmonton to see who he lines up at Will and what because he's kind of the a defensive genius. Is that a fair phrase to say?
You know, guru, he works well. Anyway.
Yeah. And
and he's got all sorts of little Maddox. Is he still using Daron Carter at safety?
I have to admit, I haven't even seen that one.
Honestly, what a cool ball hawk that would be. Oh, yeah. Daron Carter roaming the secondary with the freedom to just go chase the football.
You know what?
If that works out, that's intriguing.
I'm also interested to see what Justin McInnes does as a receiver. He had a tough start last year. He came in out of shape because he was being a stay-at-home dad and all those kind of things that happened during the 2020 cancel season. And then he hurt his hamstring and then came limited to a few games and then showed up this year in great shape. Great shape, was running with the number ones, looks really good. And then I don't think he had a pass thrown to him on Tuesday, but I don't know if that means anything. But I'm curious to see what he can do because they need another Canadian receiver to step up to fill Braden Lenius's hole and to complement Kean Schaefer Baker. And they have a bunch in Mitch Picton and Jake Hardy and Wesley Lewis, and I could go.
Samuel Emilis is the one that intrigues me.
Yeah, and he has.
If he has a big game, he might walk right into a starting spot.
Yeah, he could. But as I said, Justin is an experienced guy. They've invested in another first-round pick like Emilis was. So I'm kind of curious to see what if he can step up.
Yeah, I mean, Justin McInnes at this point really hasn't shown anything to make me think that he's ready to take that step. I didn't see training camp. Apparently, he had a good camp, but when the lights have been on and there haven't been a lot of chances there, you know, except for that one play on November 2nd, 2019, when he caught a pass, 29-yard pass from Isaac Harker to set up Brett Lothar's game-winning field goal, there really hasn't been anything that makes you think, oh yeah, this is why they picked him in the first round. We've got to see that pretty soon, because they've got a player of a with a comparable draft background in Samuel Emelis, who comes in really highly touted. So,
but they have good Canadian
to monitor as well.
It looks like they have a good group of Canadian receivers, and sooner or later someone's going to step up. It's really kind of fun. BC's got Nathan Rourke, Rob, Canadian quarterback. I don't know. I haven't read how much he's going to play. Do you think? I don't know.
Not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wish we knew. Sorry. I read as much as I could today to get an idea what BC was doing, and I really didn't get an idea with BC. So, you know, Canadian quarterback starts, preseason game, significant. He started here last year.
Threw a touchdown pass to Lucky Whitehead early in the game.
See, look at me. I can remember stuff too, Rob. I'm not just a pretty face. I have a bit of a memory. It's getting shorter as I get older.
And you didn't almost start a podcast with yogurt on your nose, which is very
crucial.
Oh, that
would have been so cool. What kind of yogurt was it? Just plain?
It was Liberty Greek yogurt, plain.
It's a sad thing to say that I didn't even notice it until Austin pointed it out. So
yeah, those young eyes.
You have a nose for the news, buddy.
Absolutely. So anyway, I'm going to read our little outro and we are going to move on with our days here. So I'm going to try and do this with perfect elocution. So here we go. Wish me luck. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and a 5-star rating. It helps us grow the podcast. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. All of these things always say wherever you get your podcasts. How did that phrase become fashionable? If you'd like to send us a question, you can email Rob at rvanstone@postmedia.com and we'll read it on the show. We promise. You can follow me, Rob, on Twitter at Rob Vanstone, or Murray at Murray LP, MURRAYLP. There. Next time we do this, we'll be previewing the Rough Riders Hamilton game to be played June 11th to begin the regular season. We're going to anchor our podcasts from this point forward on Tuesdays. So that's
and hopefully let's talk about a preseason game.
Yes, well, it will be a distant memory and perhaps completely expunged from the memory banks by the time we next discuss this. So Riders will be heading into their first practice, teeing up the regular season when we reconvene here. So for Murray McCormick and for me and Candy, who did not make a cameo appearance this time, thank you for joining us, and we will do this again next week. Have a great weekend, and thanks for your time today.